Well, it's my privilege to introduce to you our speaker of the morning, our Lieutenant Governor of the Commonwealth of Kentucky, Janine Hampton, is our speaker, and I will give you just a bit of background on our Lieutenant Governor. She was elected in 2015 on a ticket with our Governor, Matt Bevin. She's a Detroit native, holds a bachelor's degree in industrial engineering. She has an MBA, a master's of business administration. She served in the United States Air Force for 7 years and was deployed to Saudi Arabia during Operation Desert Storm. We had a brief meeting earlier this morning with some students, and talking about Saudi Arabia would have been a good conversation too. It's certainly in the news much today. Then she served for 25 years in a manufacturing career. The Lieutenant Governor currently focuses on areas of entrepreneurship, education, emergency preparedness, and being an example. And just a little parenthetical word here, in her bio, she focuses on being an example, and that is example with a capital E. And I know what she means by that, to be an example for the Lord. She created the Lieutenant Governor's Challenge Series, which includes the Entrepreneurship Challenge for high school students, the STEM Challenge for middle school girls, and the Bluegrass Book Buddies Challenge for readers of all ages. Lieutenant Governor Hampton also created the Kentucky Aerospace Industry Consortium to foster collaboration and networking in the aerospace and aviation industries, Kentucky's largest export. She's a member of the Kentucky Veterans Hall of Fame, actively addressing the needs of both veterans and those in the military in our Commonwealth. Lieutenant Governor Hampton is married to retired Air Force surgeon Dr. Doyle Isaac. They reside in Bowling Green, Kentucky, with her 91-year-old mother, Marie. And so it's my honor to introduce the 57th Lieutenant Governor of the Commonwealth of Kentucky to you. And so, Lieutenant Governor, would you come share what the Lord's placed on your heart?
Well, good morning. Good morning. I cannot tell you what an honor and a joy it is to actually be on a college campus where I can actively share the gospel. I love that. I absolutely love that. So thank you for having me this morning, and thank you for taking time out of your day to come and hear me. I really appreciate that. So you heard the Bible verse that I'm basing my talk around, and it's the Bible verse in which Peter, he's the only other person to walk on water in the Bible. When I was thinking about what I should speak about today, and actually they pinned me down because you sent me a form. You needed to know a week in advance what I was going to talk about. Usually I just pray about it and then wing it. And trust me, I've come a long way to be able to do that. So, but Peter has long intrigued me. I just find this particular disciple so intriguing in the Bible because for several reasons, not the least of which is that he walked on water, but just his journey, it just intrigues me. He was a person who asked questions of Jesus Christ. He was a person who seemed to be mentioned specifically in interactions with Jesus Christ. So for example, in Matthew 18, 21 to 22, verses 21 to 22, he asked Jesus, how many times should we forgive someone? How many times when they trespass against us do we forgive them? Is it up to seven? And you remember the answer? The Lord says, well, no. Up to 70 times seven, which is a way of saying, you know, that's a huge number, and none of us has the patience to really do that, but we're supposed to have the patience. In Matthew 16, verses 15 through 16, there had been a discussion among the disciples. The disciples are telling Jesus who the people are saying they think Jesus is. They think you're John the Baptist. They think you're this person, that person. And Jesus turns to Peter and says, who do you think I am? And Peter says, you are the Christ. So I just find it interesting that Jesus turns to Peter time again. And in Matthew 26, verse 40, when the disciples fell asleep, this is right on the night, right before Jesus is arrested, and Jesus asked them to stand watch, and the disciples fell asleep. And when he comes back and wakes them up, he specifically addresses Peter, and he says, "Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation." And so I just find this interaction with Peter so interesting. You know, perhaps it was Peter in Matthew 6. It's an unidentified disciple who asked Jesus, "Show us how to pray." And Jesus begins with what is the Lord's Prayer. "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." Perhaps I can envision that unidentified disciple being Peter. And then finally, in Matthew 14, which is what I'm basing this on, is when Jesus calls him out of the boat, "Come." And Peter is actually doing it. He's walking on water, and then he realizes, and it's almost like a cartoon moment. You can probably envision this. And he looks down and goes, "Wait a minute." And then he sinks, and Jesus saves him. And you know, you have probably all heard, walk by faith and not by sight. But you know what? To start that faith walk, it really involves us putting our leg over the edge of the boat and getting out of the boat. To even start that faith walk takes a huge leap just to get going. And so that's what I wanted to talk about. And then once you leave the boat, figuratively speaking, then you have to maintain your faith, because now your challenge really begins. And I'm going to talk about that in a second. So, you know, as Dr. Gray was reading my bio, usually when people read my bio, it almost sounds like they're talking about someone else. Because my life had an improbable start. I grew up poor in Detroit, Michigan, one of four girls. My mom was a single parent. And so by every measure, well, I'll tell you this. My life truly started the day that I gave my life to Christ, which was 7 years ago, when I was 53 years old. That's when my life truly got started. But before that, by any measure, by any given standard, my life was very full and very successful. I have 2 degrees. I've traveled. I served in the military. I had a career that included rising up to plant manager. I bought a house when I was still single. I had savings. I had the house was in a great neighborhood. I had exactly what I wanted. I was doing everything right. I had good health. I had wonderful neighbors. There's something to be said for having great neighbors. Great neighbors are priceless. And when you find them, don't take that lightly. But I had great neighbors, green space, and then the pursuit of happiness, right? So because I had good health, I was jogging, I was traveling. Actually, I became one of those crazy people who travels to go running in half marathons. I was teaching myself guitar and piano, which I had fun with. So there was music. There were other pursuits. You know, there was cooking and eating. There was reading and civics. I was active in the Tea Party. Life was great. I thought I was in control, and life was just great. But something was missing. Something was definitely missing. And it was a purpose. What is my purpose? I think all of us seek our purpose. All of us are searching for something. I mean, you see this. I think this when I read that kids are eating Tide Pods. It's like, what is that about? You know, they're searching for something. It's whether it's video games. You know, sure, I had my pursuits. Some turned to darker pursuits like alcohol and drugs. But, you know, they spend time on whether it's other substance abuses. You know, not saying my pursuits, even though they weren't destructive, were just as empty as those, because I did not have my purpose. And I truly believe we all seek meaning. And like Peter, I had doubts and questions. I had sort of pushed God to the side when I was a kid due to a bad experience I had in church. I overheard one time when I was a kid, I overheard some adults making fun of us, how my family and I, how we were dressed. You know, it's one thing when you hear kids mocking you, but when you hear adults mocking you as a child, it's a little bit different. And I wasn't mature enough to know that those were not good Christians. And so I thought that's what church was about, and I thought if that's what church is about, I want nothing to do with that. And so I just, even though my mom took us to church every single Sunday and sometimes twice, sometimes three times on Sunday, I just tuned out. I really just tuned out. It's also interesting that as much of a reader as I was, I had never read the Bible. I read pieces of it, but I had never read the Bible ever. And so, but like Peter, I had doubts and I had questions. Why do I have to worship anyone? That was one of my questions. Why is God worthy to be praised? I'd hear that in church. You know, the Lord is worthy to be praised. Why is that? What should I be doing right now? That question came later in my career. The interesting thing is that despite me holding God at arm's length, He was working on me for decades. He worked on me for decades before I gave my life to Christ 7 years ago. And it's interesting how He did that. First of all, He placed good Christians in my path. And they were there at every turn. They were in school. I saw them in the military. I ran into them in the box plant where I worked. One of my machine operators. He and I would discuss the gospel. He was working on me. I could see that in hindsight. But we would discuss the gospel. And again, I kind of pushed him at arm's length, but we were at least having the discussion. Movies play, I just realized when I was doing this, as I was preparing for this, movies played a huge role in my life. And there are movies that they don't show so much anymore. And I urge you to go find these movies. King of Kings, The Greatest Story Ever Told. These are movies from the 1940s and 50s. The Ten Commandments. Ben-Hur, the Christian message in Ben-Hur is just simply phenomenal. And even Jesus Christ Superstar. I remember when that movie came out. No, you laugh, but when that movie came out, there was much debate, I remember. Some said it was blasphemy, but as you watch it, they're just simply telling the gospel in a different way. They really are. And it's a really good movie. But I would watch these. They would tend to run them every year around Easter. And I just devoured them. I really did. And it's interesting when I look back, I realize that I never doubted that God exists. I never doubted that. I just didn't understand why I needed to worship Him. And so these were the questions in my mind. And one of the questions I also had was, I could not reconcile the Old Testament with the New Testament. I never could reconcile that, and no one ever explained that to my satisfaction. So God was moving on my heart for decades. And so I finally acknowledged that God's in charge. It's interesting where and how I came to Christ. I had moved so far to just saying the words. You know, you have to say it. You have to say you believe, which I believed, but I had never said it out loud. That I believed that Jesus Christ rose from the dead after 3 days. I had never said it. And the one thing that was holding me up was that question about reconciling the Old Testament and the New Testament. And I finally met someone, believe it or not, it was on a trip to Frankfort, Kentucky, of all places. I was on a trip. It was a behind-the-scenes look at how the legislative process works. And I think this was actually in 2011. And I actually took a vacation day. Most of you would use a vacation day and go somewhere nice. I went to Frankfort, Kentucky. I thought this was exciting. But what was interesting, that my tour guide was Brother Lee Watts, who was the chaplain. And I remember thinking, I bet I could ask him my question. And after the tour was over, we went in the cafeteria in the annex. There's an annex building right behind the Capitol. This is in the basement. And we went in the back, and I talked with him. We spoke, and he answered my questions, and we prayed right there in the cafeteria, and I gave my life to Christ right there in March of 2011 in the Capitol. So it was maybe fortuitous. Thank you. Maybe that was a sign of things to come. So now I've acknowledged that God's in charge. And so I want to tell you that this is when my life truly began, is when I was 53 years old. Because once you give your life to Christ, that's when things start to get interesting. At least for me, they did. Because in 2012, I ended up praying a prayer that put me on a path that led to me being lieutenant governor. I was frustrated. I used to hear someone say, stand where God needs you to stand. And I was feeling that I should be doing something other than selling boxes. And so one night I prayed a prayer and I said this. And I said, Lord, please help me. Just help me know what it is I'm supposed to be doing. And the very next morning, my boss, who's still around, he's a good man, called me into his office and told me that my position was being eliminated in 30 days. I was losing my job. And I smiled. I don't know if you were going to lose your job. Would you smile about that? It was not the reaction he was expecting. But you know what? He was one of the good Christians in my path. And when I told him what I had prayed, he sat back in his chair and just said, wow, Janine. He said, wow. I actually ran into him a couple of weeks ago and went back to the plant to visit. But here I learned that I'm losing my job. So now what, though? I know what I'm not supposed to be doing. Now what am I supposed to be doing? And so after taking a few months off and did some volunteer work, I did something I had never done in my entire career. I prayed for guidance on what to do next. What do I do? What do I do in my career next? I had never done that. And the answer was so unlikely, I thought it was wrong. The answer was run for office. And I want to tell you, I ignored that voice for months. The way the Lord speaks to me, it's not a voice necessarily. It's a feeling, and sometimes it's a really strong feeling. Well, this got so strong that I could not ignore it, and it was so strong to the point where I thought that if I did not jump in and run for office, I would have to explain it at the pearly gates. And I even envisioned the conversation, and it would go something like this. So the Lord would say, Janine, I gave you the passion for civics, because I was active in the Tea Party. I gave you the passion. I gave you the time. I gave you the directive. Why didn't you do this? And I would say something like, well, Lord, I wanted to learn to program apps. I mean, it sounded so lame in my head. That conversation sounded so lame. I jumped in and I gave in. And I, despite not knowing what I was doing, I ran for the Kentucky State House 4 years ago. It's the first time I'd ever run for office. I jumped in and I lost that race. But if you would have told me that a year from the day I lost my race, I would be elected lieutenant governor of Kentucky, I would have just told you you were nuts. Because at that point, I could see no path to doing that. But that's the amazing thing about God. God has plans for you that are bigger, way bigger than you can dream for yourself. I want you all to know that. I hope you know that. And after an improbable chain of events, Matt Bevin and I were elected against all odds. But I can tell you there were a number of people praying for us and with us. And I truly believe that God has placed me here and placed me here for a reason. So, now what? Where has God led me? Where he has led me is to a life of service. I know that for the remainder of my days, whatever I end up doing after lieutenant governor, it will be to serve someone, if not several someones. I have molded the lieutenant governor's office into one of service. Someone was asking me at the event earlier, what does a lieutenant governor do? Well, here in Kentucky, there's not much required other than some boards and commissions. So that means I get to define the job. And it really is one of service. It really is. I focus on education, mostly young people, but education, inspiring young people. I have been asked to come and share my personal story with thousands of students. I've now been in over 150 schools, mostly high schools. The teachers just asked me to come and just share my personal story, the ups, the downs, the speed bumps, the challenges, the joys, and how I was able to rise above poverty the way I have. And so I've been inspiring people. I share my lessons learned. Also in the Lieutenant Governor's office, my office has become the unofficial ombudsman in Frankfort because we are contacted by so many different groups of people just to help. And sometimes we can help them directly. Sometimes we connect them with the right people. You know, government is just a labyrinth of offices and rules and regulations. And so I've got some folks on my staff who are really good at zeroing in on exactly who those people need to be in front of so that they can truly be helped. So we've done that. And sometimes I'm just the role of being a good listener, just listening. Sometimes people just want to tell you what's going on. And it is truly a joy to be out in Kentucky and meeting people because everyone wants to share with me their ups, their downs, what they're proud of, their challenges, but everyone has something to be proud of in Kentucky. And so what does it mean to serve? I think it differs for each of us. My two late aunts, Aunt Thelma and Aunt Florence, were just wonderful. They chose to serve. They weren't well educated, but they chose to serve their community. They were often down at the community center in Houston, Texas, very early on Thanksgiving, making turkeys and peach cobbler. That's what they did. They cooked for their church. They ministered to the young people in their church, some of whom the parents had checked out. So that's what they did to serve. And you all can do something to serve right now, whether you have resources or not, or a job or not. If you look around you, there are people who need your help. I'm a firm believer that God places people in our path for a reason. Sometimes it's for us to help them. Sometimes it's for them to help us. Sometimes you may never know the reason. But I firmly believe he places people in our path for a reason. So if you look around you and look to see if someone needs your help and reach out, just reach a hand out and help them. So what I want to leave you with is that when you accept Christ, your journey is just beginning. This is what I recognize. Because now your challenge is to be Christ-like. You know, the Lord didn't say your life's going to get easy. He didn't say it might not even be fun. But the challenge is to be Christ-like. And none of us is ever going to be exactly like Christ because he was the only perfect being. But just attempting to live our lives under Christian principles will help us just to be kinder to people. The golden rule, the Ten Commandments, those are good places to start right there. And heaven knows we could use that in today's climate. Can you imagine if we just use the golden rule just as, you know, in the political discourse? Can you imagine how that would just change the political discourse here in the United States? So part of that challenge is to read the Bible, use the Bible, get into a good Bible study, because I have found that there are passages that I've heard a million times, and then sometimes a pastor will preach on it, and there'll be a perspective that I completely missed. So in a good Bible study, they'll give you the backstory and set it up and tell you, walk you through what it means. Walk you through those lessons. And so the really cool part about becoming a Christian is there's no quiz required. You don't have to read the Bible and then take a quiz, get a 90 in order to pass. You don't. You know, I think the Lord understands that now you will become a continual student, just like Peter. Like Peter was always asking questions. And I really believe the Lord wants us to ask questions. He wants us to be, he knows that to do that. If you ask honest questions, you will become a better person. And so, and also, after you accept Christ, look for and appreciate the blessings that are all around you, because they are all around us, and they're easy to miss. Sometimes you can be so mired in what you don't have, you miss what you already have, what is right under your nose. And so, actually, I want to add a note here. So when I say grace, now when I thank the Lord for my meals, I am truly thanking him for my meals. I'm looking at whatever I'm eating, and it's not just the nutrition part. I take a moment to thank him for the textures and the colors and the aromas, and for the ingredients and the people who grew those ingredients and processed those ingredients, and for maybe the people who were talented enough to turn those ingredients into the tasty things that are now on my plate. This is what I take a moment to, I'm truly appreciating that our food is clean, we have clean water. This is what I thank the Lord for every time I have a meal, and I truly mean it. And I remember we sat to say the blessing when I was younger, but this comes truly from my heart, and I truly appreciate every meal that I have. So what comes after Lieutenant Governor for me, only God knows. And I try not to get to a point where I'm trying to guess what that is, because I don't think I want to know. Honestly, if someone had told me I'd be Lieutenant Governor when I was your age, I might have hid under the bed. I might have. You know, you try to escape your destiny, kind of like Jonah did. But you can't. You really can't. But I marvel at where he's brought me. I really do. And I know that when the time's right, he'll let me know. He'll let me know what's next. And I can't see it now. I can't even anticipate where he's going to take me. But I'll see it in the rearview mirror, and I go, "That's why that happened. That's why this happened. Now I can see it." But I'm okay. I'm really okay with the not knowing. God promises a life of abundance. And again, it's not that your life is going to be perfect or easy. And there are many distractions to get you off message. And that's why you need to be in your Bible every day. You need to be on your knees every day praying. I pray for guidance every single day, regardless of what the day comes. And this, it's so easy to get to this point. You just have to ask Jesus into your heart. Because that's what I did. And in fact, shortly before I actually went to Frankfurt on that tour, I remember getting out of bed and I said, "Lord, you know the questions I have. Put it in terms I can understand." And lo and behold, I meet this gentleman, this pastor on the tour, who puts it in terms I can understand. And you just need to ask. And if you're struggling with believing, just ask for help, because I think he'll show you the way. And all you have to do is ask. And then once you do accept him, strive to become a kingdom servant. That's what I try to do. Look for opportunities to serve others, but it's just the striving to become a kingdom servant, because that's what I want to be. And so that helps me focus, helps me maintain focus in the political arena, which can be kind of brutal. So I want to close with this advice. Stand where God needs you to stand. And if you don't know where that is, just pray for guidance, because he'll let you know. He'll let you know. And when you pray for guidance, listen for the answer. You gotta take some downtime. You gotta put your phones away, put your electronics away, and you gotta listen for the answer. And be prepared for the unexpected. Expect the unexpected, because the answer you get may not be what you expected. If I was left to my own devices, I would be programming apps right now. That's what I would be doing. And again, God had bigger plans for me. This world right now is so in need of good Christians. And I know you all can see that. I know if ever there was a time to be kind, to listen, to turn the other cheek, to live by the Ten Commandments, to do unto others we would have them do unto you. If ever there was a time for that, it's right now. And boy, the challenge is there too. But have faith to step out of the boat. And I pray for each and every one of you that you have a faith journey that's at least as rewarding as mine has been. And I know that if you have faith to just get out of the boat and begin your own faith journeys, your lives will be so rewarding, and we will all be richly rewarded for that. So I pray for all of you here. I see the seniors are over here, I believe. Seniors, you're about to step out. You're really about to get out of the boat and step out. But just have faith. Just pray for guidance every day. And if you get to a point where you say, "This is so overwhelming. This opportunity is too big. It's not for me." It is. If it's in front of you, it is for you. Just remember that and just pray for guidance on that. So God bless each and every one of you. Thank you for being here today. Thank you for choosing to go to Asbury. And I really appreciate you all inviting me here to hear my message. God bless you. Thank you.
You know, what a story. I had not heard this part of her story, but that God must have been smiling down in the basement of Frankfort, Kentucky, when you accepted Christ there, and he knew you would one day be back there serving. What an amazing story. Thank you so much for sharing with us today. And I can tell you that our Lieutenant Governor is a woman of faith. I have the opportunity. We pray together about every three or four times a year, about every quarter for the past several years. We've been praying together, and so she is a deep woman of prayer. So what I would like for us to do is I invite you to stand, and I'm going to pray as we are dismissed. But what I would like our prayer focus to be is that we would pray for those that are leading us. You know, Scripture calls us to honor those that are in leadership over us. And so there are many that we disagree with, many that we agree with, but she is absolutely right that these are days of great confusion in the political world. And so as we pray, I want us to particularly pray for our leaders in this state and around the nation, those that are Christian and that are lifting up his name, that feel they're targeted or persecuted in many ways. And so we want to stand with them and pray that God would empower them to do all that he's called them to do. So would you join with me in prayer as we pray over our elected officials today? Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you that we can come to you as the sovereign one, the maker of all things, the one who knows all things, and the one that has, you have your hands around us, our nation, our world. And Lord, we are in great need for you to lead politically, socially, economically, culturally, within our families, within our churches, within our work. And so, Lord, we pray that you would empower our leaders, help them to see you, as we have heard from our Lieutenant Governor this morning, one that is sold out to allowing you to lead as only you can do. And so I pray for every judge in our, from our small communities all the way to the Supreme Court. We pray for those that are in Congress, those that are in Senate, those that are in the state houses of governorship and lieutenant governors. We pray for those that are leading agencies. Lord, we pray for our leadership in Washington, D.C., and we just say, Lord Jesus, come, have your will and way. We pray that your will would be done in Frankfort, Kentucky, in Washington, D.C., in our world. Your will be done in these places, Lord, as it is in heaven. You've asked us to pray this way, and so we are praying for our state and our nation and our world. And Lord, let us see you. Let us see you in those darkest places, those places of war that are ravaged by war and violence, those places that are ravaged by natural disaster, as in Florida through Hurricane Michael and the Carolinas that are still recovering. Lord, would you come? We pray for your provision. We pray for your wisdom. We pray for your perfect will and way. And so we thank you, Lord, that you hear and answer our prayers. We thank you for your presence. We experience your presence. We thank you for that. And now as we leave, Lord, I do pray for our students and faculty as they are headed away for a change of pace for several days over fall break. And Lord, be with them, guide them, Lord, their mind, body, soul, and spirit in all ways. And we pray all of these things, Jesus, in your holy name. Amen.